Amen. Beloved, we go straight into our word this morning. I greet you all in the wonderful, the powerful, the holy, the majestic, the never, ever, ever, ever failing name of my Lord, my Savior, Jesus, the resurrected Christ. And yes, I am a sinner. Ah, I am a sinner saved by grace. And if it was not for grace, where would I be this morning? Beloved, faith in God and walking with God counts as righteousness. This means you are including God in your life. Whether your walk is good, I'm going to say it again, whether your walk is good or bad, you should be looking to God day by day. Amen. We can only do this by accepting Jesus Christ into our lives and thus receiving the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's why, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Note, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We can't earn salvation, beloved. We receive it as a gift of God because we have genuine faith, and that, family, is counted as righteousness. If I say I am righteous because of my good works, I am boasting. So this morning I do not boast. So allow me, when I sit all alone, and I ponder and I wonder, I ask myself the question, who is my dad? I felt secure, safe, not because of who I am, but because of who I belong to. When you have a good look at yourself, when you take a good look at God and you remember that He is your God, and that you belong to Him, you get all excited and you begin to confess. He is the first, He's the last, He's the beginning and the end. He is the keeper of creation, the creator of all. He is the architect of the universe and the manager of all time. He always was, always is, always will be, unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised but brought healing. He was pierced but eased pain. He was persecuted but brought freedom. He was dead but brings life. He was risen to bring power, and He reigns to bring peace. The worlds, beloved, the worlds cannot understand Him. Armies can't defeat Him. Schools cannot explain Him. And leaders, they cannot ignore Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. Nero couldn't crush Him. The New Age cannot replace Him. And Oprah and Islam cannot explain Him away. They can't, beloved, never. They can never, never, ever explain Him away. You remind yourself that He is life, that He is love, that He is longevity, that He is the Lord. He is goodness and kindness and faithfulness, and He is God. He is holy and powerful and righteous and pure. His ways are right, His word eternal, His will unchanging, and His mind is on us. He is our Savior, our guide, our peace, our joy. He's our comfort, our Lord, and He rules our very lives. Family, I serve Him because His bond is love, His yoke is easy. His burden is light, and His goal for us is abundant life. I follow him because he's the wisdom of the wise, the power of the powerful, the ancient of days, the ruler of rulers, the leader of leaders. His goal is a relationship with each and every one of us. He will never leave you, never forsake you. He will never mislead you, never forget you, never overlook you, and never cancel your appointment in his appointment book. When you fall, he will lift you. When you fail, he will forgive you. When you're weak, he is strong. When you lost, he's your way. When you're afraid, he is your courage, beloved. And when you stumble, he will steady you. You, and when you hurt, he will heal you. When you're broken, he will mend you. When you're blind, he will lead you. When you are hungry, he will feed you. When you face trials, he is with you. When you face persecutions, he will shield you. When you face problems, he will comfort you. When you face loss, he will provide for you. And when we face death, he will carry us all home to meet with him. He is everything for everybody, everywhere, and every time, and in every way. Beloved, he is your God. He is your Father. That's an introduction to who your God is. Isaiah 43 and verse 18 says, remember he not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, behold, I will do a new thing. So, beloved, forget about the past. Forget about the things you did in the past. God is saying, behold, he will do a new thing. Genesis chapter 12, the patriarch. God has a conversation with Abram. Abram, beloved, was a man that was a formidable man. Abram was a man that loved to serve. But Abraham only had one problem, beloved. Abraham had one problem. And that problem was he served idols. And in him serving idols, God had seen his influence. God had looked upon him. And God had said to him, Abraham, get thee out of thy country, out of thy father's house. Go to a land in which I will show you. Beloved, which God in his right mind will tell you to leave your country, leave your father's house, leave your kindred, leave your family? Which God will tell you that to leave? Which God will tell you that? It is a God that identifies who you are. It is a God that knows who you are. Because it is this very God, in accordance to Ephesians 1 and 3, that says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, just as he had chosen you before the foundation of the earth to be without blame. Beloved, he called Abram. He formed Abram from the dust of the ground. And he says to Abram, now leave. Go to a land in which I would show you. Abram did not question. Abram did not say which land. Abram packed up. I want you to consume this for a second. Abraham worshipped idols.
But Pastor Marcus, where do you get that from?
I get that from Joshua chapter 42, beloved, where the Bible says, Joshua says in Joshua chapter 24, verse number 2, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, who dwelt on the other side of the river in the old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from out from the other side of the river and led him through the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. Beloved, I want you to understand this type of a man. This man was a man who was in business. This man was a man who shepherded and had flock that he needed to take care of. He was a trader in gold and in silver. He was a tribal chieftain of commanding power. He was a logical thinker and strategist. Abram was an employer. His dedication to his call as a chief. Family, Abram would train mere farmers, herdsmen, and wage a war on other nations that would want to come and try and defeat his very own kingdom. God called him because of his dedication and commitment, his steadfastness, and his constant desire to serve. Here we see that God calls him and says, Abram, get out of your country. Leave your family. Leave your father's house. Leave your inheritance. And go to a land I will show you. What land? Which land? He does not question God. I think personally, Abram was getting tired. Abram was so tired of not hearing a comeback, Pastor Joe. Abram was so tired that his business made him extremely, extremely rich. And Abram, beloved, was tired of hearing zero. Psalms 115, verse number 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give praise. For the heathen shall say, where is their God? And our God is in the heavens. He does as he pleases. Their God, Pastor Miriam, has eyes, but they cannot see. Ears they have, but they cannot hear. Mouths they have, they cannot speak through it. Throats they have, they do not murmur through it. Hands they have, they cannot feel. Feet they have, they cannot walk. Neither those who have made them are just like them. Beloved, if you are stubborn, in accordance to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 23, the Bible says, for stubbornness is as the sin of idolatry. And rebellion, I speak to the youngsters, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I, Pastor Marcus, they twirled me, Pastor Meldon. They put a spell on me, and guess what? You yourself are rebellious. And you want to know where witchcraft comes from? Here's a man. We call him the father of the faith, the patriarch. Not matriarch, patriarch. Patriarch is father, matriarch is mother. I'm just setting the scene. Yeah, you find Abraham standing. The man is like beyond himself. Where does this voice come from? But I've never seen him.
I've been worshiping all these idols that have made me extremely, extremely rich. My father was an idolatrous man. He made these idols and sold them, and that is how I became rich. Abram, 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 Abram stood. And then all of a sudden, beloved, he packs. He packs his cattle, his camel, his goats, his sheep. He packs his household. He packs his family, Pastor Babu. And now he's about to trek. Then all of a sudden, he has an individual by the name of Lot. His nephew joins him. That was not the instruction. The instruction was, you get out of your father's house. But because Abraham loved to serve family, he took Lot with him. And off they journeyed into the land of Canaan. Now you know the land of Canaan is milk and honey. And yeah, Abram is. Verse number 13 tells you, or chapter number 13 tells you, that Abram was steadfast in his faith to this voice that he heard. Number 14 tells you, chapter number 14 tells you that Abraham was so dedicated to the call that even when he waged a war on all of the enemies, he brought back the spoils and gave 10% of the spoils to Melchizedek. Melchizedek being a high priest of and a king of Salem, no lineage. He gave a tithe. Again, you see a man of such righteous standing. In verse number 15, God had to remind, chapter number 15 rather, God had to remind Abram that, guess what, Abram, I called you. And this is the covenant that I have made with you, and the covenant still stands. I will make you a father of many nations. Beloved, just for info, when God had called Abram out of his father's house, Abram was 75 years old already. He was already a coco. He was already stricken in age. And God tells him, I will make you a great nation. Verse number 16, Sarah and Abram became distorted because this promise was not coming to fruition. So God tells Abram, Abram, lift up your head to the stars. And if you can count the stars, Abram, that's how much and how many your descendants shall be. Abram lifted and tried to count and could not manage. And God says, those are the number of your descendants. Chapter number 18, you find out that Abram is standing in the tent. And a far off distance, you see three angels walking. Three persons coming. Now, I would like to, in my opinion, Pastor Sevi, I would love to say to you that those three angels, the first one was Gabriel, the second one was Michael, and the third one was God himself, Jesus himself. I'd like to tell you that. That's my opinion. And this is what Gabriel, the angel, the messenger, Michael, the angel that wages a war to defend you, and Jesus, the resurrected Christ, that grants to you your heart's desires. And here where the promise begins in chapter 18. And God says to Abram, after Abram had served, after Abram had given sepiso, given all that he had, and what did he have? Gave him meat, gave him milk, gave him cheese, and even went to the extent of telling them to rinse their feet, wash their feet, settle down here, have the rest until you are fed. A man of righteousness. And the angel, Father God, Jesus the Christ, says to Abram, this time next year, you shall be with child.
Remember, in those days they moved in tents, Pastor Sally. Sarah or Sarai was in the other tent. Imagine what went through her mind. Hello, beloved, hello. Imagine what went through her mind when one of the angels said, this time next year you shall be with child. And guess what Sarai does in the next tent? She hears. She begins to laugh. And the angel says, why is it that you laugh, Pastor Nino? Picture this move, 75 years old, in Nukstani, Nukswortvakar. And Sarah says to the angel, imagine speaking to God, Pastor Cynthia, and saying to him, my husband hasn't touched me since 75. And now you want to tell me at this age that I will have a child next time this year? The man is thickened in age. Nothing. Nothing. Hulle sê mos in Afrikaans, niks werkie. Beloved, beloved, do you know the God whom you serve? Isaiah 43:18 says, behold, I will do a new thing. He says, forget about, come on, Sarah, forget about the things you did not have last night. Forget about the things you did not do a month ago. Forget about it, Pastor Babu. He says, now. He says, you see, next time this year, chapter 19, there's still a barrenness. 20, Isaac is born. God's word is true. Say amen, sugars. Say amen, sugars. Amen, sugars. God's word is true. Then all of a sudden you find out, in chapter 22, family, what happens in 22? God now somehow appears to Abraham. I can imagine if God came to you nuts and says to you, take the doctor who's approximately that same age that Isaac was. Take him now. Take him to a mountain in which I will show you. Again, the second time, go to a place I will show you. But do you know, beloved, that when God spoke to Abraham, God said, take your only beloved son. If he had said, take your son, it was easy to give Ishmael. Come on now. It would be easy to give Ishmael. So what did God say? Take your only loved son. Your beloved son. In other words, a child that comes from this union. Not a child that comes from outside. Dis hoekom julle betaal pap geld. A child that comes from this union. Take him. Take him to a mountain, Mom Maggie, in which I will show you. Do you know that Abraham never told Sarah? Hello? Why? Why do you think? Let me make a joke and then you ladies can be angry with me, please. What do you call one woman in heaven? Candace? An angel. What do you call a host of women in heaven? Or many women in heaven? Monique, you call them a host of angels. Am I right? Let me go stand there. What do you call all the women in heaven? Can I tell you? Peace on earth. So God did not tell Sarah, because we know what would have happened. Oh, who's this God? What does this God think he is? Oh, he just give you a son now. Now the child is 21, and all of a sudden he wants you to offer him as a sacrifice. Who does he think he is? Oh, no. Just curse God and die. Let your son live. But Abraham, around about 2 o'clock that morning, packs his son, takes 2 donkeys, 2 servants, loads the donkeys with firewood, wakes up the lad and says, boy, it is time to go. Slips out of the tent, beloved. And as they walking, and in the distance, he sees this mountain called Moriah. Now, if you know, not even 10 meters away from Moriah is Golgotha. God says to Abraham, this is the mountain where you should leave and hang and offer as a sacrifice your son to me. Abraham stops. And at the ground of the mount, Abraham takes off the wood from the donkeys, places the wood upon Isaac's back, tells the servants to wait here, tells the donkeys to wait here. You see, beloved, Abram's focus was so that he would not lose sight, Pastor Johannes, of what God had said to him. God had said to him, offer your son as a sacrifice to me. Now, if Abram had taken the donkeys on that mountaintop to climb the top Jordan, Abraham's focus, Isaac's focus, would no longer be on the sacrifice, would no longer be on the offering. Because in my opinion, yet again, donkeys are stubborn. Imagine walking with a donkey up a mountain. Your focus is off alignment. This conversation, this deed, is between God and a son. God and a son. I'm going to say it. You see, the servants at the bottom are only there to serve. They are to serve the man of God. They are to serve his son. Imagine, beloved, you know the story. You know the story. And as they're walking up this mountain, Isaac says to his father, Dad? Father says, here I am, son. Isaac says, but the wood we have, the fire we have, but where is the offering? Picture Abraham's answer to his son. The Lord shall provide himself an offering. And up they go to the mountain. And whilst on the mountain, Isaac is sitting. Beloved, you have to picture this. Isaac is sitting. And as Isaac sits, he sees his father preparing an altar. And Isaac himself knows that where there is an altar, there has to be a sacrifice. So Isaac says nothing. And Abraham is stacking the wood for an altar. And then all of a sudden he calls his son and he says, Isaac, come. And Isaac, being of that age between 18 and 21, stands in front of his father. And you know at that time, Abraham is already 99 years old. And here you find this guy, Isaac, who is stronger than Abraham. More majestic than Abraham. More powerful than Abraham. But yet the lad just stands still. And Abraham binds Isaac. I know that Abraham could have pushed, Isaac rather could have pushed Abraham off from the mountain. What is wrong with you, Father? Does it look like I am an animal? Am I the sacrifice? But I asked you, and you said God will provide himself. Yes, I did. But first I need to do this that God called me to do. He places Isaac on the altar. Imagine, beloved, with every bind, with every rope around Isaac's body, what is going through Abraham's mind? Here goes love. Here goes depression. Here goes anger. Here goes rejection. Here goes kindness. Here goes all of these things that I felt, Pastor Cynthia, for my son. I'm binding him because I'm going to release him to God. Then all of a sudden, Abraham is standing with this knife and this firewood and this fire in his hand, and he's about to let rip. The knife is supposed to pierce straight into Isaac's heart, but then all of a sudden, beloved, as this knife is coming down, a voice goes, Abraham, Abraham, touch not the boy. For now I know that thou lovest me. And beloved, when Abraham in closing lifted his eyes, he lifted his eyes, and behold, behind him, answer one question, how do you lift your eyes to the heavens and see behind you? It is impossible to see behind you. Now, beloved, when he lifted his eyes, and behold, behind him was a ram. Ah. Abraham said, the Lord shall provide himself a lamb, an offering. But listen to this, family. It was not a lamb that was provided. It was the ram that was provided. So when Abram lifted his eyes forward of what God was going to do 2,000 years from that point. But when he lifted his eyes, he saw what God had already done before the foundation of the world. That is why the ram, beloved, is not the lamb. The ram is the father to the lamb. So in actual fact, it was the father who had sacrificed his life. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand in the presence of an almighty God this morning? In a far, far, far away land, there was a king. This king was kind.
This king was just, and this king was righteous. He was such a loving king, beloved, that all the people in his kingdom loved him. They admired him. And it so happened that from the king's treasury, there were funds, there was money, there was gold that was going missing. So the king issued an instruction. Confess now, and you'll be forgiven. No one came forward, beloved. The king then gives a second decree. And the king says, if the person is found, Suren, that is stealing from my treasury, they are to receive 40 lashes. Now you and I know that 40 is a death sentence. It so happened that weeks went by and they found the culprit that was stealing from the king's treasury. Because the king is just, Pastor Nino, the sentence had to be carried out. But the thief family was none other than the king's daughter. So the sentence had to carry out, Monique. It had to be done. Guess what happened? The king, being just, could not pardon, or else he would not be a just king. The king, being so loving, could not have said, I forgive my daughter, let's move on, or else he would not be loving. He sat on his throne. The executioner had his whip in his hand. The king's daughter was brought to the execution table. The shirt from her back was ripped off. And as the executioner was about to execute his function, the king stood up and said, stop! Everybody stood still. The king took two steps forward, went to his daughter, tore the shirt off his back, wrapped his body around his daughter's body, looked at the executioner and said, now you beat her. The executioner said, I cannot do that. If I'm going to beat her, I will definitely beat you, and you are the king. The king looked at him and said, beat her. The executioner began to whip. 40 lashes later, the king had died. The daughter was set free. Beloved, on that cross that night, that morning, Jesus said, it is finished. He did not say, he is finished. He said, it is finished. And because Jesus is not finished, family, you are not finished. That is what Jesus had done for you this morning. And Jesus loves you all. Amen. This morning I'm making this call that Jesus said, it is finished. Not he is finished.